listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street, it's a Football Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app, 855-212-4CBS. Number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via that good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. Coming up hour 20 from now, Max Starks is going to stop by, former Steelers offensive lineman. We'll chat a little Steel Curtain. Also, Max does a great job covering college football right now, so we will go around what is a monster slate here in the college football landscape for another week of college football. Then at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, it is being billed as the game of the year in the NFL. The 4-1 Kansas City Chiefs hosting the 4-1 Buffalo Bills. One of my dear friends, Deion Dawkins, Pro Bowl left tackle, and a college buddy of mine for the Buffalo Bills, will be stopping by in hour number three. And then to wrap up the show, as always, on a Football Friday, we'll do some NFL picks with Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports. And I did see that Jersey Jerry was front row at the Yankees game today, as the Guardians did tie up that series at one apiece. We have game number three between the Phillies and the Braves. This series all tied up at 1-1. Rhys Hoskins had a big home run. Bryce Harper had a home run as well. Aaron Nola pitching for the Philadelphia Phillies, and they are up to a big-time 6-0 lead, trying to take game number three in the top of the fourth inning with two outs. And there is a runner on second with Ozuna at the dish for the Braves. So we will see what happens here in a 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Aaron Nola struck him out, and you will go to the bottom of the fourth in South Philadelphia. And if the Phillies are able to hold on to this game the rest of the way, that means you have an elimination game in Philadelphia with a chance for the Philadelphia Phillies to punch their ticket to the NLCS. You got Padres and Dodgers as well, and we're looking forward to that one tonight. And this is just a fun time of the year when you got college football rolling, you got the NFL rolling, and then obviously the Major League playoffs as well. And this is just what sets up the start today of a monster Friday for what is a monster weekend in sports, with not only the Yankees and the Guardians already playing today, Braves and Phillies right now, Dodgers, Padres later tonight. And then tomorrow you get to see the Houston Astros try to close out the Seattle Mariners. And you also look on the Saturday college football schedule, you got Alabama, Tennessee, you got USC, Utah, you have TCU, Oklahoma State, you got Michigan, Penn State. There are just big-time matchups in college football. And then the NFL, Eagles, Cowboys on Sunday night. You have the Kansas City Chiefs against the Buffalo Bills. This is a great, and I mean a great time of the year, with it being mid-October when you got Major League Baseball, you got college football, and you have a few weeks in of the NFL season. So we start to see the lay of the land, which teams are legit, which teams are not in the NFL. But I got to start today's show off with two teams that are not legit, and two teams that, quite frankly, Not that I'm usually a man that looks for apologies and for people to say sorry to me, but really what we saw last night between the Bears and also the Washington Commanders in Chicago was an absolute disgrace. And that is back-to-back weeks where Thursday night football, let's just call it for what it is, well, it sucked. I didn't think it could get any worse than that game that we saw between the Indianapolis Colts and then also the Denver Broncos. But this one was right up there. And it may have been worse. I haven't decided which one was worse. And the final score was 12-7. You know what? I would say that the game last week was worse because it got into overtime, so we had to watch that more. But it's always weird in these games that are just really bad and are so low scoring, they end up having, I don't want to say exciting finishes, but finishes that make you sit on the edge of your seat and you're like, yes, let's just end this game. But then right at the end, the Bears come up short once again and the Commanders find a way to get a victory. If that's all that happened, we're not leading the show on a monster football Friday with all going on in Major League Baseball, all going on in college football, all going on in the NFL with this game. But there was a lot going into it with the Commanders, where Ron Rivera earlier in the week tried to praise his quarterback in some way, but really threw him underneath the bus. Then you had the article come out about Dan Snyder, where he's having all these investigators basically stalking NFL owners and Roger Goodell. And if they're going to try to give him the boot out of the league, he has, quote unquote, damaging information. And he thinks that the NFL owners hate him. And he's not wrong, because all those owners can't stand Dan Snyder right now. So the Commanders were a big story point going into the game. And it had nothing to do with on the field. On the field, you know, Carson Wentz is a mess. On the field, you know, Ron Rivera right now, even though I like Ron Rivera a lot as a person, he's not doing a good job with the talent that's on this team. And I was also curious because really the last year when this, it wasn't a suspension, but punishment came down and Dan Snyder was stepping away from the day-to-day role of running the now Washington Commanders. And that was all a bunch of hogwash and nonsense. But really, it was his wife who was supposed to be the front person and making all the decisions. And everyone, I'll never forget, I was hosting Tiki and Tierney at the time, and that was a show here on CBS Sports Radio. And I was filling in with JR of the JR Sports Brief. And we were on the air that day when the NFL's punishment came down for Dan Snyder and the Commanders. And it was basically just Dan Snyder saying, yeah, I'm going to walk away. The money was irrelevant, but I'm going to walk away from the day-to-day role of running the Commanders and hand that over to my wife, Tanya Snyder. And we both said, that's a bunch of bull crap because, what, are you not going to talk to your wife? Are you not going to, when you guys are lying in bed, discuss day-to-day operations of the team or at the dinner table? Hey, honey, pass the steak. Oh, yeah, by the way, let's talk about X, Y, and Z with the football team. And even though supposedly, and now that is, I guess, over of him having to step away from the day-to-day role, according to his attorneys, but with Dan Snyder stepping away from the day-to-day roles of the team at the time, nothing really changed because he was still involved. So I was curious last night if he was going to be at the game, and not that if he was going to be at the game, was he going to be visible at the game? And he was in a luxury box, and I'll give credit to Al Michaels. I thought Al Michaels did a great job because sometimes when you have network announcers, because of the partnerships with the NFL, they're not honest. And sometimes they try to paint a picture that isn't reality. Al Michaels is a legend. He's one of the GOATs in the broadcasting business. And I don't use that word very freely and often like a lot of other people. But Al Michaels, we all know, is a legend. And for him to say on the Amazon Prime Video broadcast that it would probably be best, and the league thinks it would probably be best, or that's a sense that he gets, if he just walked away and sold the team instead of having to go to a vote to vote him out, I think that is a pretty fair analysis, and also it took guts from Al Michaels to actually say it, because it's the obvious statement, but sometimes people don't say the obvious. So I've always had a lot of respect for Al Michaels, but last night, I didn't think it could grow any further than the respect I already had, but it did because he painted a true picture. And there's sometimes a lot of broadcasters, play-by-play guys, talk show hosts, they don't always paint what is right and what is the true picture. And I thought Al Michaels did a brilliant job last night handling the Dan Snyder situation. Were you surprised at all how transparent Al Michaels was last night, Hot Take Hickey? Who, by the way, producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know about that, Hot Take Hickey.
I guess not really, because the feel and the sense, even if he won't get voted out, is that he's not very well liked. So it's not like he's attacking a well-liked owner or someone that really has any sort of power, or
but
even if Snyder wanted him out.
There's excuses made for these owners.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some broadcasters know where their bread is buttered. Others will tiptoe the line. Al Michaels, I think, one, knowing who the guy is in Dan Snyder's, one out of 32 is not going to attack him. And also, two, it's also awesome. Also, Al Michaels. He's earned the clout where...
Sure, but that's still not always the case.
More of a line and more of a,
But still, some of those big-time successful broadcasters don't let their guard down, and they just stick to the script of calling the game. And there's a lot of times they sweep big, controversial issues underneath the rug. It just happens. Now, to Al Michaels' credit, he was always willing to talk about gambling when it was frowned upon to talk about gambling, and now all they do is embrace gambling. And maybe that just fits into the personality and why I shouldn't be surprised. But I just loved how he was basically saying, this guy needs to sell the team. And if the NFL doesn't want to say it, or if the NFL can't say it, I will basically speak for the NFL. You know what? Maybe he should not even take this Amazon Prime money. Maybe Al Michaels should be the commissioner of the National Football League. Because that was very commissioner-like last night. Now, I know the owners may not like it. Well, some of them actually may, but... You know, you don't usually want a commissioner bashing your owners, but I thought that Al Michaels represented what a lot of fans and probably what a lot of people in the NFL were thinking as well. And I don't know about you, where you stood on this yesterday. 5 years from now, because I asked this question to Grant Paulson, and he said, I still think he'll be the owner, but my confidence in that is starting to waver a little bit. 5 years from now, is Dan Snyder the owner of the Commanders? They find a way to force him out and to sell that team? Because I said it to you yesterday. I would call his bluff. I would say everyone would be doing somersaults in the street if we got rid of you. What could you possibly have that is so damaging? And the NFL brand always survives. I would have no problem telling Dan Snyder to go screw and we'll call your bluff. And even if you have something, everyone's going to be so happy that you're out that I don't even think a lot of people would care for a long time about what Dan Snyder has to say. So give me your thoughts on that, by the way.
I would be very surprised if he's not an owner in 5 years. I think he's going nowhere.
Maybe I'm caught up in the moment, and usually I would actually agree with you whenever it comes to stripping a power away from a team. But that stadium thing, I didn't realize how big of a deal. I knew the stadium was crappy, but I didn't know how it kind of hit a real rough patch in getting that stadium to try to be built. And if you remember, I think when he was stepping away from day-to-day role of running the team, he even made an emphasis in that statement that I'm going to focus more on other projects, and it was reported that that other project was going to be the stadium. It's kind of crazy how him not, or potentially not being able to get that stadium could be what makes the owner say, okay, that's enough. Now we have to get rid of Dan Snyder, not all the other horrible things that he's been involved in. So I don't know. Maybe I'm taking the role of you and I'm channeling my inner Hot Take Hickey and I'm getting caught up in the moment. I'm starting to think 5 years from now, the long national nightmare of Dan Snyder as an owner in the NFL is over. And I think these owners want some blood here. And if it gets to that point, it would not surprise me if they do kick him out. Now, I can't get inside the cabezas of the other 31 NFL owners and how they would vote and how they would operate. And maybe they're saying, man, if this was ever me, if I ever did something, not even to this extent, but maybe like 1/10 of it, would this then open the door for me to lose my team and have to sell the team? So that probably does factor into it. But right now, with what Al Michaels said, that is clearly him having a conversation with someone in the NFL and an important person in the NFL, if not many important people in the NFL. And they wanted that narrative. They wanted that out there last night. And I thought that's why the Al Michaels stuff was very telling. So when we get to and put aside the Dan Snyder part of it, the other side of it was the whole relationship with Ron Rivera and Carson Wentz. Because also in that ESPN article, it said that it was Dan Snyder who was the one that was slamming the desk for Carson Wentz and not Ron Rivera. Let me then take you back to earlier in the week when Ron Rivera threw his quarterback underneath the bus. And this is what that sounded like.
Quarterback. The truth is that this is a quarterback-driven league. And if you look at the teams that have been able to sustain success, they've been able to build it around a specific quarterback.
chose the quarterback here, though. So do you have any regrets about that, or how do you?
No, I got no regrets about their quarterback. I think our quarterback has done some good things. There's been a couple of games that he struggled. But you look at his numbers from yesterday, and you would say, okay, look at his numbers he's had throughout the year. There was a time he was, very solid. And then, we had the unfortunate Philadelphia game, and he struggled a little bit in the Dallas game. But the way he performed yesterday, it just shows you what he's capable of. And, we chose him because we believe him. We chose him because we looked at what we felt were things that pointed towards him.
Now, Ron Rivera has since apologized for those remarks, and he says, I've been around too long. I know better. I should not have said that. But with the comments that were said, Ryan, I think it's safe to say that regardless if Ron Rivera wanted Carson Wentz or not, he's having regrets right now that Ron Rivera is that quarterback after you hear that 45-second minute clip where he's just speaking in a circle and it's just spinning over and over and over again.
And one fall, I can't blame him because I think what he's saying is the truth, but it's one of those things where you just can't say it out loud and you can't put all the blame when asked why are you guys in last place and everyone else is 4-1. You can't say quarterback.
Hey, Zach Gelb, why is your show here and not there? The producer, hot take Kiki. Like, you can't, even if that's the truth, you can't say that when you're the CEO. And I know Ron Rivera is not the owner, but he is basically the face of that franchise with the Washington Commanders. So that was a pretty damaging statement, no matter what he said after that. But after the game last night, before I play you a fired up Ron Rivera and a PO'd Ron Rivera, isn't it amazing that he had that reaction, before we even play the reaction, that he had that reaction, Ryan, last night, where they're going up against the Bears. The Bears, just like you, are a bad football team. That game was a disgrace to offense. I know that this Carson Wentz stuff probably eats at him, and it's in his mind. Man, I really did mess up. I can't believe a veteran coach like that, someone that's been around and has done 1,000 interviews, let the media kind of get their way, or not get their way, just make me a guy now that can't stand my quarterback because of, to his own fault, what he said. It's just, I thought the freak out last night was an extremely bizarre spot. And I obviously think that it's kind of fake outrage is what I like to say. He's trying to make good on what he said earlier in the week. But to pick that spot last night, it's not as if Carson Wentz made you feel any better after the game last night. Yeah, I thought the timing of it was very bizarre.
It's laughable. It's one thing we said in the offseason or weeks ago. He said it 3 days ago. Hey, why are you guys in last place? Quarterback.
Yeah. And it's not even the media's fault. They asked him a simple question, and he gave a crappy answer. So let's hear Ron Rivera with this fake outrage from last night.
Honestly, I'm gonna speak my mind for a second. Honestly, it's been hard. It really has. You lose 4 games in a row, and everybody wants to get you, just get on you. And they've played their asses off. They have. They played their asses off for everybody. They come out, and they show up. They work hard. All right? They don't complain. Okay? They hear all the stuff, and they got to deal with it. I get that, and I respect them for that because they're resilient. They come back. Everybody keeps wanting to say, I didn't want anything to do with Carson. Well, I'm the guy that pulled out the sheets of paper, that looked at the analytics, that watched the tape in the freaking when we were at Indianapolis. Okay? And that's what pisses me off because the young man doesn't deserve to have that all the time. I'm sorry. I'm done.
Fake outrage if I've ever heard it. That's just trying to make good on your statement from earlier in the week where you weren't wrong in what you were saying, but you just couldn't say it, and now you thought you had to overcompensate and have this freak out and go berserk and defend Carson Wentz and start cursing. Like, what? But what are you doing there, Ron Rivera? And the timing of it is so poorly because what you just said 3 weeks ago, and also, it's not as if Carson Wentz put up 40 points and that game was a blowout. You had to grind out a victory against the Chicago Bears. You won the game 12-7. That game, if it wasn't for the other Thursday night football game a week ago, would have set football back on the offensive side of the ball for 150 years. I don't know about you, Ryan, and I have a lot of respect for Ron Rivera. I love when he joins us each and every year at the Super Bowl, and he joins us during, in season as well. But no one, up until the last week, was pointing the finger at Ron Rivera in D.C. and saying, man, this is his fault. This is on him. even though there's been some moments where he said some dumb things like, well, when you have to pick the quarterback, and last year he admitted that they were probably going to regress coming off that playoff team because that team, people forget, they only had 7 wins and made the postseason. I hate to say a guy's trying to get fired, but it's got to be so tough to work in that organization and so stressful with the pain-in-the-ass owner, Dan Snyder. I wonder if it's just getting too stressful for Ron Rivera, and he's acting out of character now. You know, saying that he's trying to get fired is one thing, but that's like the only way I could go, because he's doing things that a veteran coach, a guy that's been around the game forever, is beloved by so many. He's doing a lot of things that make no sense. You know, I don't want to say it's Urban Meyer-like, because that's a totally different thing. But last year, when we talk about Urban Meyer, did so many things, you're like, what the heck are you doing? And this week, it's like, what the heck are you doing with Ron Rivera?
Sounds like the pressure's getting to him. Kind of to your point. It's like, you have so much stuff. It's hard enough to win in the NFL
in general.
He's
putting himself on the hot seat.
He is. He is. And I wonder if he's not that upset about it. I don't know. But everything, the team, the quarterback, now the owner, there's always a new story every week. Sounds like the pressure's kind of all caving in, and the dam's starting to break.
And honestly, if I'm Ron Rivera, I'm not all that upset if I get fired at the end of the year. You're still going to get paid. And you kind of, I know it's crazy to say this, but like, you kind of get away from this and could free yourself from all this stress. And you've had a very good career. I know he wants to win a Super Bowl, but you're not winning a Super Bowl with the Washington Commanders. You're not even going to come close to sniffing one. So if I'm him, if I get fired at the end of the year, I'm going to be all that disappointed. 5 names to watch for the Heisman Trophy coming up next. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Would you agree here, hot take, Hickey, just for a baseball point for a second? Since we're both just miserable Mets fans, and we're salty Mets fans, and we're annoyed that the team that won 101 games in the regular season and did not have a good September found a way to get eliminated by the San Diego Padres, that this series between the Braves and the Phillies is really like hell. That's what it is. Because it's tough for me to have a preference either way to see which team wins. You kind of wish that both could lose, but you know that that's not the case. But if I had to pick one over the other, because it was back and forth for the entire season, Mets and Braves, and how obnoxious Braves fans were once the Braves did win the division, I do lean Philadelphia over the Braves in this series, and I do hope that the Philadelphia Phillies, who are up 6-0 in this game number 3, and it's 1-1 in the series, I do hope that the Phillies win this series and then go to the NLCS, and then I would like to see the Dodgers or the Padres, probably going to be the Dodgers, take down the Phillies and then have that team go to the World Series. Is that the fair assessment from one Met fan to another Met fan?
Yeah, it sucks. I'm rooting for the Phillies, and also at the same time, it brings me pain to see their fans happy. I hate Philly so much.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's not a lot of fun.
You don't hate Philly. You hate their teams. You actually hate the city. It's one of the great cities in the country.
Not my thing.
You don't like cheesesteaks?
I love cheesesteaks. That's the only thing they get. The only really redeeming quality they have.
No, you're so wrong. Cheesecakes, tasty cakes, the Philadelphia pretzel.
Anywhere.
No.
Pretzel. The Philadelphia pretzel.
The tasty cake is a Philadelphia thing. That is a Philadelphia thing. You're so wrong.
I can live my life without tasty cakes. I'll be okay.
Yeah, then that's why you're an emaciated person, and that's why you're a miserable human being.
Are different. They are delicious. I'll give Philly a lot of credit.
Philly, though, is a great city. The food's awesome. It's a great going-out city. I love Philadelphia, and I don't even hate all the Philadelphia teams. Like, I don't mind the Eagles. I think it's awesome when the Eagles are good. I have no animosity towards the Philadelphia 76ers. Flyers, I like the people in the organization, some of them. You know, some of the people that are in PR. But for the most part, yeah, Rangers, Flyers, I can't stand the Flyers. And the Phillies are they've tortured me my entire life pretty much. Pat the Bat with Pat Burrell. You get to Jimmy Rollins and Chase Utley and Ryan Howard. So, yeah, I can't tell you that I love the Philadelphia Phillies. But what I do love, did you see when Bryce Harper hit his home run and he was touching home plate, the sign that the fan had four rows pretty much off the first base dugout?
No, what did the sign say?
Hit that, John. Great sign. And John is a Philadelphia world. Another great part about Philadelphia. And I frequently use the word John in my vocabulary. But I will send you a photo or a screenshot of this photo. The hit that, John sign with Bryce Harper with the fist up pointing to the guy is an all-time great photo, maybe in the history of sports. Anyway, when we get to a little college football on this Football Friday, I got five names for the Heisman Trophy. And I don't know if you agree with this or not. And it's still early in the college football season. This is the seventh week of the year in college football. But it does feel as if this is the first week with all the big matchups and a lot of big teams being involved in this on both sides that you start to think about the Heisman Trophy here, Ryan. Would you agree with that? That this is the first week that you have at all thought about the Heisman Trophy as you start to make the case for a little Heisman push for some candidates?
Yeah, that's fair. Midway through the year, big matchup, the biggest matchup so far to date. Yeah, I think this is kind of where you see some pretenders and contenders separate.
So I give you five names to watch this weekend. They're all mega names in college football. One that is not a quarterback is Blake Corum. If Michigan does find a way to get back to the college football playoff, Blake Corum, their running back, should be a Heisman Trophy finalist. Has 735 rushing yards on the year and already has 11 rushing touchdowns. Early in the year, he did have 5 rushing touchdowns in one game. So you have a big game, Michigan-Penn State this weekend. We all know the game on the Michigan schedule is Michigan-Ohio State, but the buildup is that this year we want to see an undefeated Michigan team, an undefeated Ohio State team square off and have battle. Blake Corum, this could be a big week for him up against Penn State. We've been talking about this matchup, Oklahoma State, TCU. I don't think there's been enough national buzz on Spencer Sanders. I've been saying it for weeks. If this guy is not a Heisman finalist in New York, I would be absolutely shocked. That's how great he is. C.J. Stroud, he's the one that's not playing this week for Ohio State. Ohio State's off, but C.J. Stroud clearly is going to be front and center in the Heisman Trophy, and right now would be the lead candidate, you would think. Caleb Williams, big week for him. First big game for USC, and you say big game, but it's not like, wow, big game, as it would have been if Utah did not mess up. First loss against Florida, fine, but then the second loss really takes the juice out of Utah for this season. But Kyle Whittingham does have a good team on paper. Cam Rising is a really good quarterback. So you get Caleb Williams just putting up big stats after big stats. This could be a week where you could pad those stats as well. And people still look at that Utah defense as a very good defense. And then finally, potentially, if Bryce Young does play, you have Bryce Young, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, going up against Hendon Hooker, who is putting up a Heisman Trophy season at Tennessee. And right now, if it wasn't for C.J. Stroud, I would think Hendon Hooker would be the guy that would be winning the Heisman Trophy through the first 7 weeks of the college football season. So Corum, Sanders, Stroud, Caleb Williams, and Hendon Hooker would be the five right now that I'm looking at for a Heisman watch. Anyone that I'm leaving out of this conversation, in your opinion?
I think two names. We'll start with the quarterback first. I think Max Duggan, because that's a guy ever since he took over Chandler Morris's job after he got hurt in the first game of the season. I mean, his numbers alongside Spencer Sanders have basically been identical. They're 1-2 in terms of touchdown passes, total touchdowns, passing yards per game in the Big 12. They're facing off this weekend, so it's, like you mentioned, almost like an elimination game, kind of, if you will.
Well, yeah, you could make a big case this week if you go out there and dominate Spencer Sanders and Oklahoma State, no doubt.
So Max Duggan for sure. And I'll put Jahmyr Gibbs on the list as
well.
Oh,
it's a good one.
Because he's been not only doing it on the ground for Alabama, but he's really been doing it through the air. Because these receivers are not very good. There's no one really that, whether it's Bryce Young or...
And Young was out.
Right, Jalen Milroe, that when they're back and throwing that they really trust... He's been the big play, you know, playmaker, explosive-wise, you know, big runs, big catches, whether it's Texas, whether it was Arkansas, whether it was last week at A&M, he's the guy. So I would put him in the mix for sure because that's, even honestly, probably more than Bryce Young, because he's been the one guy that's kind of carrying this offense so far through the first six games.
When we come on back on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, we will talk about a big revenge game this weekend, but not the revenge game you're thinking of. Between the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found. Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Don't miss former WBC heavyweight world champion Deontay the Bonds Brahmer Wilder going up against Robert the Nordic Nightmare Hellenius in a WBC heavyweight title eliminator on Fox Sports PBC pay-per-view, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Saturday, October 15th. Order this must-see pay-per-view now at foxsports.com. I'm going to ask a question here that I think to most in the listening audience, it's an obvious yes. But I'll ask it to you, Hot Take Hickey, and I'll see if you agree or disagree with me. Bills Chiefs. We all know how that ended last year. In the postseason, Bills up. They don't squib kick. 13 seconds to go. Mahomes and company, they get in field goal range. They win the coin toss. They go right down the field. Travis Kelce, touchdown. Josh Allen, maybe the best two-game stretch you'll ever see by a quarterback that does not result in two victories in the playoffs. The Bills are home. Chiefs go to the AFC Championship game the next week. Their offense was just dysfunctional up against the Cincinnati Bengals at the end of the first half, and that carried over all the way through the second half and overtime. Is this a revenge game for Buffalo this week? Buffalo going back to Kansas City, do you consider this a revenge game?
I do not, no.
I'm shocked that we agree on this. I thought for sure you were going to be just taking the simple take on this. Yeah, it's a revenge game. Here's why. Last year, we said the same damn thing. Going into this regular season last year, it was, oh, remember how the Bills season ended? AFC Championship game. Stephon Diggs, standing on the field as you saw the Kansas City Chiefs go to another Super Bowl before they did lose to Tampa Bay. And that was going to be a revenge game. And you saw in the regular season last year, people forget about this, the Bills destroyed the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the final score was, 38-20? It was an 18-point game, something like that. And then what did it mean? It meant absolutely nothing. Because then, come postseason time, the Bills had to go back to Kansas City, and they weren't able to find a way to get off the field, and then the game in the final 13 seconds. So for the Bills this year, it's about a Super Bowl. It's about winning the Lombardi Trophy for the first time in their franchise's history. And if you win this game, I think if you're a smart football fan, sure, you're excited. And maybe if you don't have a bad stretch like you did last year, you win this game and this could be the tiebreaker, and you either have that tiebreaker in hand so the road to Glendale, Arizona travels through Buffalo in the AFC. Because I think it's clear. The one thing I know through the first 6 weeks or the first 5 weeks of the NFL season going to week six is that the two best teams in the AFC at the end of the year, at the end of the regular season, you either have the Buffalo Bills as the one seed, the Kansas City Chiefs as the two seed, or the Kansas City Chiefs as the one seed and the Buffalo Bills as the two seed, barring injury to Josh Allen and then also Patrick Mahomes. So, yes, this game's important because if you're Buffalo, you want the road to travel through with those crazy fans in Buffalo. And the same for Kansas City, and this could be the tiebreaker. But I don't think you want to get too delirious and too over-the-top exuberant if you're Buffalo and you win this game and go, wow, if you're a Bills fan, we revenge the loss for last year because we were having similar conversations, different with the way that it ended last year, the year before that, right? And they had a lead in that AFC Championship game. They were like 9-0, 10-0, something like that. And they were just not the better team. Last year, they were the better team. But the matchup from a year ago in the regular season, it was the same, similar, the way that we were talking about it. Revenge game, revenge game, revenge game. That's why I'm not saying this is a revenge game this week, because there's probably a damn good chance that you're going to meet the Kansas City Chiefs again if you're the Buffalo Bills. And if you end up doing the same thing as you did last year and you lose that game, what did you really, you know, get revenge for? So that's where I'm at on this one.
And to your point, it's like, what if the Bills win on Sunday? Like, what does that really do? Like, the Chiefs are still like, all right, well, we'll take the win last year. Like, it's not like you're like damaging the Chiefs. Like,
well,
you said,
that's a football fan mentality. Oh, they beat us last year. We screwed up last year. It's all the line. This Sunday, we're going to kick their ass. Revenge, revenge, revenge. That's what it is.
Like you said, last year's important to kind of get, like, finally beat the Chiefs.
You got one.
And right. And okay, we can beat them.
You got
now
the
it's just
monkey
about the
off your
right.
Back.
Now, like I said, this is more important for home field advantage than anything else.
Like, put it
no
this
revenge.
Way. The Bills do not fear the Kansas City Chiefs anymore. They
no,
may have
no,
nightmares
no, no.
from what transpired last year in the final 13 seconds, but that is a team that's extremely confident in the Buffalo Bills, and the Bills have this mentality, this great mentality. Like, we'll have Deion Dawkins on at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific tonight. You know, I know Deion very well back from my days at Temple. We're very close friends. There's a certain mentality that they've been preaching for years in Buffalo. And you want to know why that mentality's been working? And it hasn't got a Super Bowl yet. But this Bills team has made the playoffs the last 3 years. This Bills team has won two division championships. This Bills team has not only been one of the best teams, that's the obvious. Others are trying to copy what the Bills are doing. You have seen Brian Daboll get a job. You have seen Joe Shane get a job. That's on the coaching staff, where an offense coordinator becomes a head coach and a man that was assistant general manager becomes a GM of an organization. Even remember the nonsense with Mitch Trubisky? You had some people in Pittsburgh saying, oh, he was in Buffalo. He got a year to learn from Josh Allen, and now he's going to be a different quarterback. That's what the vibe is around the Bills. The Bills right now, for the first time in well over two decades, are an attractive destination. The Bills are a team where it's not crazy when Von Miller says, yeah, we want Odell Beckham, and there's a chance Odell Beckham goes and plays for the Buffalo Bills. Now, Christian McCaffrey thrown into trade rumors this week. There's an expectation that the Bills could get Christian McCaffrey. And if you're Christian McCaffrey, you can't be upset about going to Buffalo right now. You get thrown right into not only a playoff chase, but you're in the front seat of that car, trying to drive your way to Glendale, Arizona to get to a Super Bowl if you were to be traded to the Buffalo Bills. I love the way when a team's been down and out for two decades, Ryan, and the way now we perceive and talk about Buffalo, where it's not just the success internally in that organization, you're starting to see though around the league, teams that are down and out, teams that have been dysfunctional, they're trying to take a page out of the Bills playbook because it wasn't that long ago where Buffalo was just a brutal organization with a passionate fan base, that their fans didn't see anything close to a good product, a quality product on the field. And yes, they haven't won a Super Bowl yet, but the football has been damn good in Buffalo the last few years.
And to your point, too, you're seeing it with hires around the league. They're starting now to poach the Bills staff. Brian Daboll, Joe Shane now are going to the Giants. Like, that's also another mark of
Leslie
a great
Frazier's
team.
Leslie Frazier's name popping up again.
It's not only the great players, but you have the great head coach, a great staff. Everything in Buffalo, like I said, is really top-notch. Like, everything you possibly could want for an NFL fan being at the top, that's what Buffalo is right now.
I will tell you, though, what is a revenge game this weekend? Wink Martindale of the Giants, the defensive coordinator, who was let go last year as a defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens. One of the more respected defensive minds in the entire NFL. This is a revenge game this weekend because the Ravens defense has not looked great without Wink Martindale. This Ravens defense blew a 35-14 lead up against the Dolphins. They blew a 20-3 lead up against the Buffalo Bills. And there you have Wink Martindale with Brian Daboll with the New York Football Giants, where the Giants don't have a lot of talent. The Giants are not this great team, but they're getting the most out of this roster. And for the Giants to be 4-1, now we live here in this New York, New Jersey area. There has not been a Giant game in a long time where a Giant fan would go to that stadium, a MetLife Stadium, like that Giant fan's going to go on Sunday and actually be excited about the product that they're about to watch. Like, the Ravens should win this game. The Ravens are a better team, but if you're a Giant fan right now, with how you went to London last week and beat the Packers, you know you're at least going to show up to the stadium and the team's going to fight. And that fight has been lost for the last 5 years with the Giants. The Giants, a once proud, respected, great, unbelievable organization, was a national laughingstock. And so far, through that Buffalo regime of Shane and Daboll, they've come to New York and they've done a wonderful job. But Brian Daboll hiring Wink Martindale was basically a gift because the Ravens said goodbye to him. The Giants scoop him up. And you're not going to tell me that Wink Martindale, knowing the Ravens and knowing that organization inside and out, doesn't play somewhat of a factor in the game? Like, I do think the Ravens are going to win. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Giants, right, who have a team that's not all that talented and motivation's very easy, this is go win one for Wink this week with the Giants, and maybe you got a little upset with the Giants finding a way to get to, maybe the Giants are 5-1. If we're here on Monday, the Giants are 5-1, man, I've seen it all in the NFL. I really have.
With wins over the first place Titans, the Packers, and the Ravens, just like we all thought the Giants is here.
Yeah, just like I gambled, right?
But I would love to see, I think that I'm with you, I think the Ravens will win, but I would love to see a Giants win, just see Wink Martindale post-game jogging over to John Harbaugh after the game, maybe giving the old Jim Harbaugh slap on the back like he did to the, I forget the Lions head coach's name.
Jim Schwartz.
Jim Schwartz, thank you. A nice old big slap on the back. Hey, Johnny, good game.
Yeah.
Wink would be fired up.
Wink may take a knife right to the back of John Harbaugh. A little stab in the back. You stab me in the back, I get you back.
A little brawl in midfield.
Now that's a revenge game this weekend. Who wins that game? I'm leaning, and I am taking the Baltimore Ravens to win this game. But the Giants, they got some weird magic. They got their mojo back, as Austin Powers would say. They found their mojo.
They have, to their credit. With that said, I'm with you. I'll take Baltimore.
Oh, really?
On the Ravens.
Fade.
Which means, Zach, if you're a smart man, go right to that betting app and say, Giants, thank you very much.
Yeah, I can't tell you that.
That's how your picks are going to turn around.
With my bets this year, my record has been atrocious. I did make a parlay today on the baseball. Well, first off, I live bet the Guardians. So I won some money there. They were plus 100 when that game was tied up at 2 apiece. So I won some money there. And I parlayed the Phillies minus a run and a half. Phillies are currently up 6-1 in the bottom of the 6. And then I parlayed, it was the over of 7.5 runs in this Dodgers-Padres game coming your way later tonight. So Phillies, keep the 6-1 lead. You give up a run or two, nothing more than that. I want to be able to enjoy the rest of this show. And then if we could find a way to get some runs often, early, not make me sweat that one out, Dodgers and Padres, that would be good. I think that bet was like at like plus 565 or something like that. Coming on back, Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio on Sid's Offside next.
Football season is here.
The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found. Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
If you are leading change, building a team, or implementing new procedures, Gonzaga University's online Master's in Organizational Leadership gives you the tools for success. With concentrations in change, global, and servant leadership, you'll get the most relevant training and education to help you tackle any challenge. Visit gonzaga.edu/leader and find out how Gonzaga's organizational leadership degree can affect positive change in your life and career. That's gonzaga.edu/leader.